Hi, everyone. This is Samara Luna with the Tree of Life Hour. The Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area that are trying to create space for earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community, things we think that you all should be talking about or know about. So tonight's show is pre-recorded. It's actually a workshop from Pagan Unity Festival. So please endure. I will be back next week, but this way everyone can find out what it's like to take a workshop at a festival. So, see you next week. Bye.
Pog. I have been a practicing pagan for about 20 years now. Drifted through several traditions. I am an ordained first degree Corellian princess, or priestess. A little bit hot. And there's a bug in my hair. Together with Lucy, we're the coordinators for Nashville Pagan Pride Day, have been since 2012, and I also do pagan prison ministry. And there's still a bug in my hair. Thank you, sir.
What prisons do you go to?
I go regularly to the Tennessee Prison for Women, and we have been out to the West Tennessee Women's Prison as well. I do this with Reverend Edie White, that some of you may know, and she also goes to Riverbend and the other men's prison, whose name is escaping me, but those services are scheduled at a time I have to work, and we have to go when the prison says we have to go, so I have not been able to join her for those.
Work for your men.
Okay, and I'm Lucy Jameson. Hi. I have been a Wiccan since 1992. Started off Roman Catholic, then moved into evangelical Christianity. Finally found my home. But I have been down in Nashville since 2011. Spent the last 20 years up in Dayton, Ohio, where I helped form several pagan community groups and also was part of a coven that did regular public rituals in the park. like Mary said, I help her coordinate Nashville Pagan Pride Day. NashvillePaganPrideDay.net, if you all want to go, September 29th is the date this year, and it's going to be awesome.
Blatant plug.
We're also founding members of the Moon Willow Coven, which is we do stuff when we feel like it. And we're also starting work on a paranormal urban novel set in Nashville with two witches and some weird creatures. Hopefully it'll be done by next year. So,
is there country music involved?
Not in this book, there may be in the next one.
Yes, vampire country music bands. We have to keep it interesting.
Yes.
Okay, you want to get started?
Well, so I'm sure everyone has read all the Intro to Wicca and Paganism books, and I'm going to keep turning, but some of you are right behind me. It's okay, this is how we have to sit, where we basically lay out a will of the year that is based on the climate in Great Britain. Now, the problem with that is Great Britain is at a latitude further north than every place but maybe New Hampshire and Vermont. Mm-hmm. I didn't trace the line out.
Yeah, I lived there when I was in the military. They have summer. It takes about a week and a half.
Yeah. Yes, so, yeah, when I lived in New Hampshire, my birthday is in April, and there was snow on the ground on my birthday. I thought that was the weirdest damn thing I ever saw because I was used to getting a cookout for my birthday. So, we've all read the books and talking about what the Lord and Lady are doing with the snow on the ground and how spring is barely starting at Ostara. Now, we can put out some plants by Ostara.
Mm-hmm.
So, the purpose of this workshop is we're going to look at our climate here and talk about how we can adapt rituals to fit our climate because as pagans, most of us talk about we're trying to attune with nature, with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like it's better to attune with what nature and Mother Earth are doing where we are right now,
mm-hmm.
rather than what a book says that was written for three temperate zones up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with the zoning calendar, it starts here and goes further north. So that is the purpose of this workshop. It is interactive. Ask us questions, throw in comments. We would love to hear anything you do at different Sabbaths to personalize it. That's the other mm-hmm. thing. Make it personal. The longer I practice, the more personal I want my seasonal rituals to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something out of the book. It's got to be something you are making a connection with
mm-hmm.
for it to have the right effect on you as you work on attuning with our Mother Gaia.
Okay, so as we were saying, climate conditions vary around the globe. We have different climate zones as well as growing season zones as we see in the United States. Basically, and I did get this from a British website, but it applies to the U.S., we have tropical zones where it's hot and humid. You're looking at the world's rainforest around the equator. You're not going to have much variation from one season to the next. So I suspect that talking about the snow's on the ground, everything's quiet, nature's getting ready to bloom again, and you're looking at the jungle and you're seeing the flowers and you're going, okay, what snow? What is snow? I knew kids on Guam who did not know what snow was. So there you go. We then have the arid climates. We have the deserts, where basically you have real hot in the day, real cold at night, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, you don't have a huge variation. We got our Gulf Coast or Mediterranean, similar climates. It's hot, dry summers and cooler, wet winters. I can attest to that. I lived on Crete for a couple of years, and we had really, really hot summers because the winds would blow off the Sahara Desert. We didn't have the wheel of the year in the way we do it in Wicca. Then we got your continental, your temperate zones, which is pretty much a lot like Middle Tennessee, a lot like Southern Ohio, etc., where summers are mild and the winters aren't too cold. Then you got your continental, which is places like Minnesota, North Dakota, Kansas, where you've got long cold winters and very short hot summers. And yes, it does get hot in North Dakota. I live there too.
She's been everywhere.
I've been everywhere, man. Yes, I have. A lot of places. And then, I haven't lived in polar regions. We got our polar regions. I imagine if any of you have ever been to Alaska, you've heard them talk about how the sun goes down and then about, 4 or 5 months later, you see the sun again. It's, if we're being pagans who wish to model and our practices to nature, we have to be very cognizant of what nature is doing around us. Middle Tennessee. According to the National Geographic Services, we fall under subtropical classification. We have all four seasons, but winters are short and mild, and I'm sure you all have noticed most of the time, we get an inch of snow and everybody goes, snow. It doesn't really snow a whole lot here. It gets very hot, really. And we have short, mild winters, long, hot summers, and humidity and precipitation tend to be on the high side. And as Mary noted to me when we were writing this up, this is true except when it isn't. Climate change is a bugger. Okay, take it away.
Okay. So our theme for the Wheel of the Year is going to be personal growth as mirrored in the Middle Tennessee growing season. And we're going to start with Embalk.
Yes, comment anytime you all feel like it.
Yes.
Really, we like comments.
We do. We would like this to be interactive. I don't want to feel like I am a high school teacher talking to people who will go to detention if they don't show up for class. So at MGOC, it's too cold still here to go out for outdoor planting, but it's a good time to start seeds inside. This is when broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, tomatoes, and eggplants are normally started. And this is a good time to think about what you want to see in the coming year. The days are starting to get a little bit longer. We're coming out of this winter solstice. And it's a time to think about your basic needs, the things we're all going to need all year long. We're going to have food. We're going to have shelter. We're going to have transportation. Because, yeah, we live here with no public transportation. So we need to be working to ensure we've got the basic needs and think about the things we need for personal growth. What is it you need to be bringing into your life? And remember, life is in flux, so you've got to learn to be, life is a balancing act. We'd like to set plans in stone and go from here to there, or at least I would. And it doesn't always work that way.
Yes, life is sitting in the smokehouse for a VIP roundtable and running into the main building because a thunderstorm is blowing up and it's going to blow you away. You have to be able to handle that sort of thing.
Does anybody want to share anything they do at MBOC?
This year at MBOC, our group, I wrote a ritual for our group to plant seeds. And I actually... this book, I have a book in my book. I made little, you can print seed packets on them.
Right.
And I printed in bulk on them, and I left a place for people to put their names, and I glued them together, and then I bought just a whole bunch of loose sunflower seeds, and I put them in. So everyone could take their packet and think about what they wanted to grow in there. And everybody took one seed out, and we had a big clay pot, and we all planted one seed at my house during ritual, and everybody else took the rest of their seeds home to plant when it was time. And I nurtured them on my altar and then planted them at Ostera in the garden.
Very cool. Awesome.
Anybody else have a share? Yes? No? Maybe?
How do you spell that?
I-M-B-O-L-C. It comes from Anglo-Saxon for in the belly. Because at MBOC, it's traditionally the first spring festival because the cows and the sheep are now pregnant. So it's the first sign of spring.
And if you're Celtic, it's spring.
Okay. Yes.
And actually, it's not a time for planting in England because you just can't get the ground to turn over yet. And well, the plants would die.
I wouldn't have done that ritual at home either because I'm from Maine, and at Ostera, as you said, we still have three feet of snow.
That's not what you do in Maine.
No. Okay, moving on to Ostera. It's a time when day and night, day is balanced between light and darkness, and that's true whether you're in Ohio or you're in Tennessee. If you're in Alaska, maybe not yet. While there's a chance of overnight frost, it's gone by mid-April. So we're actually warming up. We're getting to a point where things are beginning to get green and growing around us. The grass is getting really full in time for us to get the lawnmowers out. The trees are starting to green out. And allergy season is right around the corner. So if we're going with intentions, we have to look at our garden of intentions. We've been planting them inside. We've had what we think we want to work on this year. It's starting to grow. It's getting to about the point we're going to put it outside. So the things we got to look at. Do your intention plants need more care and attention? Are you checking for weeds in the bed that you're going to plant them in? If you've got intentions you want to grow in your life, what else is going on in your life that could really choke out these intentions? You know, I have the intention to go to the gym and work out, but I'm lazy. You need to work on lazy to get the gym going. True story, right here. Do any of your plants need more care? Have some of your intentions started to bloom, but they're starting to wither back already because you planted them, you were really sure you're going to make them work, and then you didn't do anything with them. Then there's weeds in the bed. Look for negativity, bad situations that may have developed. Use your ritual to review the intentions that you planted. Are they growing? Do they need more attention? What changes do you need to make as you move your plants outside and get them to grow into nice, big, healthy, green plants that give you nice fruits and vegetables? Comments? Questions?
I want to add one thing for Ostara. At the equinox, day and night are balanced. 12 hours dark, 12 hours light. So at the equinoxes, I like to look at my life and see, is there anything out of balance? Is there anything I need to work on? Am I spending too much time in this area and neglecting another area? Do I need to change my focus? Because that's where we are. It's the season of balance.
Okay, you have Beltane.
I have Beltane, but I want to know if anyone else has something to say about Ostara first.
And of course, if you are a Persephone worshiper, skies.
Except I think this year she had a fight with her mother and went back to Pluto for a bit.
I think so.
Oh my God, Mom, I can't believe you said that.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going back.
Hades? Hades, honey, I'm coming home for 2 more weeks. Yes, dear.
Whatever you say, dear.
All right, Beltane, we are halfway to the summer solstice.
Yay.
Some of our plants are ready for harvest. Some things we've been working on, we're seeing. We have brought these into fruition. Some of them are going to need more work before we see results. Now, what is Beltane? Beltane is the big sex ritual. What's sex about? Fertility. So at Beltane, is there anything you got to put some fertilizer on? You can plant all the magical intentions you want, but if you say you wanted a better paying job, you can't just put that, make your ritual with that intention. Did you fix your resume? Have you applied for some jobs? Have you decided maybe you're going to have to go back to school to get that job you want? You need to be working on your intentions at Beltane.
We're still weeding.
We're still weeding, and it's a relationship time. So are there relationships in your life holding you back? Not just with your significant other. Are there toxic relationships you need to fix?
Or get rid of.
Yes. And it is okay to cut people out of your life. I've done it. So some... keep an eye on your intentions and work for your harvest. We can't, like I said, we can't just put, I believe, when we do the ritual at one of the Sabbaths and we're asking the gods for their help, they will help us if we help ourselves. They're not going to plop it in your lap and say, here you go, sweetie, you're a good girl.
And my first high priestess said, she loved to quote Starhawk, and Starhawk would always say, the hands of the goddess are at the ends of your arms. So you want to see something happen, you got to give the goddess some help and get the hands out.
So, anybody have comments about Beltane?
We're going to keep asking, by the way, so.
Okay, I'm going to tell my favorite Beltane story. The first public ritual I ever led when I was working on my North Wind first degree, we had a big public ritual at... Percy Priest Park, not Percy Priest, the one's out Highway 100. I'm old and I'm, thank you, Percy Warner Park. We had a big ritual in one of the shelters there, advertised it everywhere on all the email lists because we didn't have Facebook yet, that's how old I am. So, to make a maypole, I decided the simplest thing to do was to get one of those volleyball kits, and I put the pieces to hold up the net together to make a little maypole. And though I didn't mention this to my muggle husband, I put it under my bed the night before, and then the first thing in the morning, we energized it. Then we took it to the park. He didn't have to know what was going on. It would have confused him and ruined the energy. So, you know, we just, hi, honey, wake up. Oh, okay, no problem. Then I take it to the park. We set it up. We're weaving in and out, and my high priest is monitoring everything I do because I had to lead a successful public ritual to get my first degree initiation. And as we were raising energy and drumming, and the energy kept getting higher, and the energy kept getting higher, and we had stuck a sprig of flowers in the little hole at the top, and at some point the energy got so high, flowers came popping out. So we called a halt on the theory that we had made the maypole come. And that was my first public ritual ever.
Beltane can be fun.
Beltane is always fun.
I was in a a Beltane ritual, wasn't leading it, and it was supposed to be family friendly, and they were trying to figure out some way to properly talk about the Lord and the Lady coming together. So they decided to substitute the word agriculture. And the gentleman playing the Lord called it agriculture. That was a standing joke up in Dayton for the longest time. We're going to do Beltane? Oh, you mean agriculture. Yes. But as you see right now, we're just past Beltane, and it is bloody hot. And it's probably going to stay this way until Samhain. So, well, maybe not Samhain. Llamas.
Yes.
No, Llamas? Maybon. It's going to stay this way till Maybon. We're going to have heat all the way through. So we have to, you know, adjust accordingly. Okay, as we're saying, midsummer, it's hot. It's really hot. It's harvest time. It's hot. We have to go out and harvest. Our inbox plants that haven't already been picked are ready to pick. So we need to take a look at our plants and see what we have ready for the fall harvest. And, oh, by the way, you're not done planting yet. A good farmer will harvest and put more down in the ground so he can harvest again before the winter comes in.
Because in Tennessee, you can get two crops. Our growing season is that long.
So if we're using the imagery of the Middle Tennessee growing season, that means that, gosh, you've got some intentions that you've just harvested and said, yes, I did a good job with this. It's time to put more intentions down and see what else we can develop before the end of the year. And what else do we have on Maybon? It's the height of the year. Much of the growth and development that you started at Imbolc should be fully manifest. And if it's not, we need to look at, okay, where did I screw up? And do I plant this intention again and try to get it later in the year? Some things need a little more time to mature. We're looking at that and say, okay, you're not broccoli. You shouldn't be ready yet. You're more like, corn. Corn isn't always ready until June, end of June, July, August. Depends on where you are. It's the height of the growing season. You're getting a lot of sun. It's a good time to look at what might need to be released in your life while you're looking at moving from the light of the year into the dark of the year. And you can use this ritual to celebrate the changes you have made today. Get down, get fun, get funky. And then plant some more.
Another thing I want to bring up, at midsummer, we're at the solstice, but from this point, the light is leaving us. So this is a good time also to look at, what do you need to let go of? Bad habits, toxic relationships. Yeah, I'm the person who will tell you, you've got to fix all the relationships in your life. But is there anything you need to let go of? Negative thoughts you hold on to? Or are you shooting yourself in the foot by always being negative? Yes, you know who I'm going to say that to.
I want to sit there with popcorn and see that. We have a friend that is a little bit toxic that we really want to help, but we don't want to do it the wrong way. So it takes care and carefulness.
Anyway, so as the light is decreasing, what do you want to let go of in your life? In the light half of the year, we bring things into our lives. In the dark half of the year is a good time to remove things from our lives. Personal growth takes both, bringing in what's good and letting go what's bad, or bringing in what we need to flourish and letting go of what's holding us back. Might be a better way to phrase it. Don't want to have you just looking at my back.
Okay, you get llamas.
I get llamas. It is really hot and muggy. Oh my God, is it hot and muggy in August in Nashville. Llamas is August the 2nd. It is really, really hot. It is really, really muggy. And you don't actually see me outside during the day an awful lot in llamas.
She becomes a vampire.
Well, I work second shift. I'm sort of a vampire anyway. But this is a time you should have brought in your harvest. Everything from Imbolc should have been harvested. Have you reaped those intentions? If you haven't, why not? And also, what did you decide you were going to let go of at midsummer? What kind of work are you doing to release those things? Get them out of your life. If it's a bad habit, what did you do to change it? If it's negativity, what have you done to replace it? And lost my train of thought. It was a short one. So, yeah. Stuck on the tracks. And what are you doing to stay safe in the heat at llamas? Does anybody have anything they want to share about llamas? Anybody?
I guess not, Mary.
I guess not. All right. Then you get Maven.
Maybon. Okay. It's not really horribly hot and muggy anymore. It's pleasantly warm. And so let's look at the new intentions you planted at midsummer. It's time to get the rest of the harvest in, because going into the winter, psychically, with the days so short, we tend to want to cocoon a bit and rest. And even in Middle Tennessee, when the weather's still good, it's getting dark so early at night that it's kind of like, we're going to slow down a bit. So here we are at Maybon. We still have some intentions we've been working on. We still got a little harvest to bring in. And it's the second half of the balance of the year. That's where day and light are balanced before we really start getting dark. So that's where you need to look at not only what you need to finish working on in things that intentions you decided you wanted to work on during the year. You also have to look and see, is your life in balance or out of balance right now? What do we need to do to make things copacetic for you? And people who have helped you during the year to plant your garden, to grow your garden, and harvest your garden, this is an excellent time to say thank you very much. Because even though we're trying to focus our practice on this particular thing as the harvest season, the planting and harvesting season, Maybon is the harvest for Wicca, and it is a good time to do Thanksgiving for the folks that have helped you out. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm good. Does anybody want to say something about Maybon? Bueller? All right, moving right along. We have Samhain now. It's still warm during the day, though the mornings are a little crisper, the nights are a bit cooler. It's time to slow down and take stock. Use this ritual to review. What did you accomplish this year? What things did you bring into your life that you wanted to? If you wanted to accomplish something and you didn't, why not? What went wrong? What would you do differently? What did you learn? How are you coming on the things that you released? And in most traditions, this is the time when we invoke our ancestors. So this is the time to thank your ancestors for their help with your intentions through the year. It's also a good time to banish any negativity that's lingering around and send it out. Anybody want to share anything about Samhain that they do?
Or could do? Or want to do?
Last year, where we use small, I don't think I have one of them with me, printed up small headstones. And everyone was allowed to write the names of the people that they wanted to honor. And we kind of, I made sure the altar was huge. We had lots of room. Everybody got to put up a little candle, tea candle with their, and everybody, you know, in circle, everybody took time to honor their ancestors, put their name on the altar. You could put as many as you wanted, or pictures or whatever, but we had everyone on the altar.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
It turned out very nicely. I was kind of afraid we were going to set the pergola on fire for a little bit. Other than that,
we have, at Pagan Pride Day, we've instituted something we call the Ancestor Altar. Well, it's actually moved from an altar to a shrine. We put up one of those purple canopies. It's really quite pretty. If you come to Pagan Pride Day, you'll see it. And inside the canopy with the hangings that you go through when you go into the canopy, we've got tables set up as altars where we honor the pagan ancestors, the people who have gone before, and we acknowledge the pagan elders who have passed on this year. Last year, we had a special remembrance in there for Bilbil and Father David. And we lost Ray Buck.
Ray Buckland as well last
year.
Yeah,
we had him
a
on
special.
Our altar. But we also have tables in there for people to bring in remembrance of any ancestors, family members, relatives who have gone before, and they can bring them to be remembered as part of our Pagan Pride Day while they're in participating. And it's kind of neat because sometimes we get so busy with our days we forget about the people that have gone before in our lives, and it's nice to take a few minutes to do it every once in a while during the year.
I have an ancestor altar in my home.
Awesome.
Every day.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I don't know where I'd put one in our living room, but that's an idea.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I have my mother's dancing shoes. Aww. On
the altar. That sounds
of my
wonderful.
Parents, picture of his parents. Just little things. Lots of water.
Yes.
Lots of water, always full. And I talk to them. I have a big painting of my grandmother.
Aww.
That she had commissioned for her that I got acquired after she died. And our tradition was we used to do Snickers bars together.
Mm-hmm.
And so on special occasions, I'll get a Snickers and I'll snap it in half and share it with her.
Aww, that's beautiful.
That is nice. Wonderful. I'm sure she's appreciative.
Everyone likes a good Snickers bar, come on.
Mm-hmm. Or an Oreo cookie.
Well, the gluten-free witch doesn't like Oreo cookies. Well, it's not that I don't like them, it's that they don't like me.
Okay, you want to do Yule?
Yes, I'm going to do Yule, unless anyone else has a comment about Samhain.
Or any of the other seasons that we've gone through so far.
Just for Samhain, I'm adopted, so I don't really know all my ancestors, so I do a general kind of thanks to anyone that came before me. So I don't really have anyone that I specifically, you know of or know about. So I just do a generalized thanks to my ancestors in a sense on that part.
There's a lot of people that do that, you know, that feel like they connect more with people that maybe aren't blood related, and they'll associate more with people that have come before them that may not be blood related, and they still consider them ancestors. So.
Yeah,
and as a matter of fact, my granddaughter recently saw the Disney movie about the little boy who goes into the land of the dead and meets his ancestors. Yes, Coco. And when we mentioned to her that Dr. Seuss had passed away, she said, "Really? Gra, can we make Dr. Seuss one of my ancestors? I love all his books." So, yeah, we're going to do a ritual for her, so Dr. Seuss, and ask Dr. Seuss to be one of her ancestors. So I think it's perfectly valid to honor anyone who has been there for you,
mm-hmm.
whether you have a blood tie with them or not. I mean,
sometimes people you pick.
Yes, family is sometimes people you pick.
Or pick you.
You know, my daughter says that my husband, who is her stepfather, has been far more of a father to her than her sperm donor is now how she's referring to him. So, you know, that's how she introduces us to people, is just, these are my parents, Don and Mary Hawk. And doesn't get into, well, he's my stepfather. No, this is my dad. So, honor the people who supported you.
Mm-hmm. And it can even be someone you haven't met.
It can.
It can be someone that you has worked for a right that you've acquired. Like, I know I have a lot of homosexual friends that they will, they have altars for people that have passed away that have been big in the LGBT movement. Women who have women's rights activists they've never met, that they will honor as Alan.
So yeah, honor the people who've been there for you. And it's fine to do something to honor your physical ancestors that you don't know anything about. But don't feel left out because you don't know them. Because you were given the circumstances you needed for this lifetime.
That was something I was wondering about. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. Okay.
So, anybody else have a comment on Samhain before we move on? Okay, Yule. It's getting cold, or at least coldish. This is Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I have put the holiday lights on my front porch wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I'm probably not the only one. But it is time to rest. It's the darkest part of the year, when we're going to have the equinox, where we have the longest night. Mm-hmm. This is a time to rest, to celebrate, to spend time with friends and family. Time to acknowledge the dark time of the year and that we need a cycle to rest. Our society is really big on we run 24/7. We're open 24/7. And we don't acknowledge how the seasons change, or that really in winter we need to be resting. In fact, I'm in retail, and a lot of people in retail or just in production of consumer goods, rather than as we go into fall and winter being a season to let things go and rest. No, this is the busiest time of the year, and mandatory overtime, here we come, which is really backwards. But it is a time to rest, it's a time to reflect, and it's a time to acknowledge rest now, because inbox right around the corner and we're going to do it all over again.
Have a party.
Have a party.
Yeah, use some of the harvest you made to get have a party.
Yes, have a party, celebrate what you accomplished, and get ready to do it all over again, because after all, it's a wheel and it just spun.
Yeah, pagans don't think linearly. We think round in circles.
Okay. Anybody have any comments about what they like to do at Yule?
Our coven used to stay up the whole night and greet the sun when it came up in the morning.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We used to do light ceremonies, but old witches do not stay up all night.
I'd rather get up early.
Now, I have held vigil over Yule and greeted the sun the next morning. I'm on a late schedule, so I'd rather stay up all night than try and roll out early to greet the sun. That's my biological clock. I will tell you all a funny one. I posted a picture of our Yule tree on Facebook, and I have a good friend who's a devout Roman Catholic. We met through the karaoke community in Nashville, and he IMs me and asks me why I have a Christmas tree. And I'm like, well, I call it a Yule tree, Nick, and that's because it's an ancient pagan symbol and a little bit of the history of where it came from. And he said, that's what I thought. That's why I won't have one in the house. More power to you.
You're lost, buddy. They're pretty. Okay, that's everything we had, pretty much. Questions, comments? Screaming away out into the dark because it was so horrible. Or you liked it. Whichever. Anybody else have anything?
So question. Do Wiccans in the Southern Hemisphere flip the calendar?
Yes, they do. Okay.
Yes, they do.
And if you're... I am part of the Corellian tradition, which has people all over the world.
Oh, Don Lewis.
Yes. And they will send out, like, greetings to Samhain and Beltane, depending on which hemisphere you're in.
Makes sense, yeah.
So, yes, in the Southern Hemisphere, they do, many of them do flip it to be in alignment with their growing season.
One thing about trying something like this is it gets you out of a rut if
yes.
you feel like you're getting into a rut. Because it's so easy to say, okay, it's Beltane, yay, agriculture, let's go out and frolic on the grass, let's do the maypole, whatever. This is something to give you an idea about other ways to acknowledge the wheel of the year.
Well, Mary, you might appreciate my maypole this year. We didn't do a maypole because I don't have a place to put it in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something on the altar, so I need something small.
Cool.
So I'm like, do you know the wooden paper towel holders?
Yes.
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
On the top off, stuck a rose in there, like a bud.
Mm-hmm.
What's that look like? And then run the ribbons off of that, put Irish moss around the bottom of it, and put it in the middle of the altar, and went... Maple.
That sounds beautiful.
It was so funny because I'm like, I'm in the thrift store going, you got any paper towel holders? And I'm sure the woman thought, what the hell is wrong with this woman? And I'm looking for one that, and you know, she's like, well, I got the one that has a thing. I don't want that stick thing. So I had to come home. He had to break a screw in the, he had to drill a screw out so I could get that piece of wood that stays on the side that you rip the, to get it off so I could use the paper towel holders and maypole. Hey, put it away. I'll use it next year.
There you go.
And now you need to consider a workshop on...
how to build a maypole with a paper towel holder?
Yes!
creative paganism on a budget.
Yes. You know, I love people who get on, like, groups on Facebook and stuff, and they go, I don't have any money to do this with. Well, what do you think you need?
Our ancestors didn't have any money to do this with either.
Oh, mm-hmm. They didn't have a pink candle either. Because there was no such thing
mm-hmm.
as a pink candle.
No, there was no such thing as a pink candle.
They had fire.
Yeah.
Go with that.
They had fire.
You got fire. You got fire, you're good. You know, no pink candle.
There's always ways around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
And above all, I just want you to encourage you to personalize your rituals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've never done a ritual before and you want to get one out of a book because you don't know what to do, that's not a bad thing, but you can tweak it a little.
Oh, you know what I do? I go online and I go, oh, I like this part of this. Oh, but I like that part of that. Oh,
yes.
This is cool over here. And I print it all out, and I save all the pages, and I print it all out, and then I go, well, I'm going to use this. And then I'm going to use this. And then I start numbering things. Then I go online and I cut and paste everything and put
yeah.
it in order. And go... And if I go, did you do that? Yeah, I did. I did, because I was the one who went and looked at six different places and found a ritual.
Yeah, you can find plenty of good rituals in a book. There are a ton of rituals online. But the more you personalize it, the more impactful it's going to be in your life.
Yes, and usually the more energy you can raise.
Yes.
I was talking about Yule when I tried to render myself unconscious with a plant card. It was dark.
What were you doing?
I was casting circle, Mary, and I was going around, and we had like 35 people in my deck, so I'm like trying to go around the edges, which took me really close to this hanging top. And I'm looking, and I smacked myself right in the head.
Wow. I called the Watchtowers of the Nerds once instead of Nor.
I'm telling you what, from then on, everybody said it wasn't a ritual at my house unless I smacked myself in the head with a plant pot. That's just how it works.
No, just,
I don't believe it hurts so bad. It was the first little ritual I'd ever done at my house, so
wow.
I was totally nervous and smacked myself right in the head.
Well, you never have to do that again.
No, thank God.
Oh, public service.
I have a welt on my head, though.
Public service announcement. Mary and I are doing the closing ritual tomorrow. It is a redneck pagan ritual. We're going to be raising energy for everybody traveling home to get home safely, and we're going to do it in a particularly rednecky fashion.
Right out
it
here.
It will be fun.
Well, if I wished I'd known, I'd have brought my redneck maypole. You girls
do. Aww. I also have an announcement that my very Baptist mother-in-law has approved. She's a cat collector. She took in 3 female cats and didn't get them spayed, and they were inside outdoor cats. So I have access to 14 kittens within 30 minutes of the park. If anyone would like to take a kitten home from Pup, I can make this happen.
I think I've seen pictures. They're really cute.
Oh, they're adorable. I can't have one. I have 7 cats, and my husband said no more until some of them get old.
And just to let everyone know, the reason I've been recording this is because I am part of the Tree of Life Hour on the Pagan's Tonight Radio Network. We do a show on Thursday nights on Blog Talk Radio. It gets posted up to iTunes, and also it's in the archives on Blog Talk Radio. It is also kind of associated with the Karelian tradition in witch school. But they support the Pagan's Tonight Radio Network. So if anyone wants to re-listen to this, it will be broadcasted through there on a Thursday night coming up. They do have daily shows, but my specific show is on Thursday nights, and I'm known as Samara Luna on the radio. So if anybody wants to check it out. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let us know when you're playing it.
I will.
Okay. If nobody else has a comment
or a question.
I would say that this doesn't just apply to Wicca. This applies to many different religions in trying to get holidays oriented into the weather or the
climate,
the calendar and the climate.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, if nobody else has comments, questions, etc., the workshop is open but unbroken.
Merry meet, merry part, and merry
meet again.
Yee-haw! Because I'm a redneck witch.